All right, everybody ready to shift gear? Everybody have something down? If you don't have something and you're stuck, please jump on Tribe or send an email to inbox and I will be happy to power assist you through it. Okay, I want everyone to take deep breaths with me. You've hopefully gotten pretty good at this by now over the course of the year. We're going to do this a couple times today. Remember that deep diaphragmatic breathing. Diaphragmatic's like that baby or Buddha breath where you put your hand on your chest and it stays flat, and all your breath goes into your belly and it expands like a baby or a Buddha, right? So you kind of have your pot belly. This is not like Thanksgiving. We are not trying to suck it in, right? We're trying to relax into it. This is going to calm our nervous system that's going for most of us most of the time. So we're going to tell our brain we're shifting gears. We need to pay attention. It's going to hyperoxygenate our brain by bringing that deep oxygen at the bottom of our belly. That's why we keep our chest flat. Your chest should not move. So you have to work at this a little bit. That's why you have one hand on your chest and one on your belly. And we're going to do four counts in, hold for four, four counts out, hold for four, like the Navy SEALs do. This is how they learn how to go from a hyper stress, life-threatening situation to calm and conscious, because they do it regularly. So they have the ability to shift their brain waves and their state on cue, because if they don't, they could die. So while we're doing is not quite that urgent, do we agree that owning our state is probably the most important thing we can do when it comes to just right our work, our wealth, and our well-being? Yes. Okay. So we're going to do that three or four times. Hand on your chest, hand on your belly. We're going to breathe in for four deep breaths. One, two, three, four. Hold. Two, three, four. Breathe out for four. Two, three, four. Hold for four. Two, three, four. Take some deep breaths. Do you feel grounded and ready? It's important that you do, because this is outside of just the general science of success lesson we teach, really opening your eyes to the fact that the right, the world in between your ears is the biggest lever you have to pull in elevating your work, your wealth, your well-being, right? Your body, your business, your bank account, your relationships, your clients, your value, your profit margins, all of it. You've got right self-talk, which is right the conversations we have in our head, which is the first step into right really expanding your mindset, awareness, and learning. We talked about overwhelm and overcoming that earlier this year, right? How to pull yourself out of that stress state and recognize that overwhelm is simply a story that our brains tell us. And it puts us in a state that we choose to believe we need to be in response to that situation, which is just a bunch of conditioned habit that doesn't serve us, stresses us out, shuts down all the oxygen in our brain, meaning we make very poor decisions, relatively speaking, because our prefrontal cortex needs that oxygen, right? And we end up in a constant state of reaction. So from a mindset and a growth perspective, that awareness, if you're in year one, is the big takeaway. If you've been able to start to exercise it, to sit in a space of saying, hey, maybe I need to stop and take some big breaths. Hey, that voice in my head saying I'm not good enough is actually a thing called imposter syndrome. It's not real. I don't need to listen to it, right? That awareness is super important, and that's what opens the door to everything else. If you can't catch it, you can't correct it. So that's really phase one. For those of you right now, we're at the tail end of the year. Hopefully, you understand better the role of mindset and your personal psychology in the success that you create for yourselves. And now, what we want to talk about is one of the fundamental concepts that will determine the level of revenue and money that you will make, which is your belief about it. In particular, your belief about money and your relationship with money. So what we're going to really dive into today is, what is your relationship with money? How does that, or how has that created the level of success that you are currently experiencing? And then I'm going to talk you through how the only way that we know to elevate our success is to elevate our belief in it, and how understanding your relationship with money and then consciously reframing it to be more confident, empowered, expectant, and abundant is a magic door to suddenly finding yourself to new levels of success and wealth. And I'll give you a lot of different stories about clients. I've gone through this. So many of my clients have gone through it. And so it's really about how do we reframe that relationship with money? Primary thing to know, if you take nothing else away, remember above the line and below the line. This is essentially, that is the real life version of this to help you translate it into where am I in your thinking. Because again, if you can recognize it, you can catch it and you can correct it. We all fundamentally believe one of two things. Einstein, again, one of his very intelligent and often unheard quotes was, the most important choice that each of us makes is whether we believe that the universe is friendly or hostile towards us. That was Einstein. I kind of believe him. If you think about it, right, I grew up in a trailer park. Life was pretty hostile. There was a lot of struggle. Spent the first part of my life fundamentally believing that life was hard and a struggle and it was working against me. And I just had to, be tenacious and get through it. And yes, amazing things happened. But that struggle state, lo and behold, still loves to show up in my life. And when I find myself, we talk about efforting, I will literally have moments where I'll be like, oh, damn, I'm efforting again. Happens all the time. I'm like, oh, I'm efforting. Efforting means I'm below the line. It means I got a force it state versus a flow it state. And man, it takes me about 3 days usually. One, I can just change my activity. But it takes me about 3 days to change that state. So I want you to think about your money state in the same way. Above the line is your money state is abundant. If you grew up in a household, those of you who are doing well and have children who don't understand hard work and you're wondering if we've ruined them, I know we have these conversations in my house all the time. Like, how do we, like, I can't instill in my kids the work ethic and the tenacity that I went through, because what it took for me to develop it is not something I want to put my kids through. Right. So that's that balance. So if, right, my kids' relationship with money is going to be very different than mine. Mine, grounded in deep scarcity, grew up in a trailer park, mentally ill mom. Dad had struggled to keep a job. When he had one, we did not make a lot of money. Some of you have heard this story. My relationship with money, my first money memory, like think about your first money memory. It's either going to be abundant or scarce. My first money memory is of asking for something. I don't even remember what it is, but I remember that my mother looked and felt distressed. I remember that as a child. And then I remember her pulling out a box, taking off the lid, and going through some envelopes. She then pulled out an envelope which had something written on it, clothes, rent, groceries, and she opened the envelope. And there was no money in it. So the answer was no. Like, it brings up emotion as I share it with you now. Like, that is a deep imprint that I have around money, which is there's not a lot of it, it's scarce. And when the envelope is empty, you should be worried. Right? Bad negative state. How much work did I have to do to get to a place where I can have an abundant money attitude? Right? If any of you have a spouse that believes money grows on trees and like that, yeah, right? Fundamentally different attitude. You have a fundamental energetic and neuroscience, right? Pathways in your brain, belief around money. Either believe it's above the line at some level, right? Varying degrees of intensity. Comes to you easily and effortlessly. It's available to you. There are no limits on what is possible. You just got to figure out how to work some things to get where you want. Or you fundamentally believe, again, varying degrees of intensity, it's a spectrum. There's a neutral spot. It's super tiny. The odds of anyone being there for more than 7 seconds are very slim, right? Because it's rooted in our childhood experiences. That abundance, that rate, that scarcity is, I have to work for it. I have to struggle for it. If I've got it, I'm going to lose it, or I earned it and it went away. Why can't I hold on to it? Right. We'll talk more about the different beliefs we have around money and how they show up, but I want you to get really clear that you already have a core root relationship with money. want you to ask yourself when you think about doubling or tripling your income. So, at some level, you believe it's possible or you would not be in this room, period. Right. What we're working through now from a mindset perspective is how do we clear the background noise out of the way so that whoosh, off you go, so that your beliefs and your intentions and your actions line up. And that is when the magic happens. That's when you hear those stories where you're like, how did that happen so fast? Like, even when it happens, and you have to go back in hindsight and be like, wow, these are all the things that lined up. Does everyone have a clear sense of their money story? It doesn't mean it's constant and how it shows up, by the way. You might get a big check and be like, woo, right? But it's if you look at your pattern of relationship with money over the course of your life, your comfort with the amount of it you have may go up as you get more of it, but your relationship with it, right? That fundamental, I can easily, if I lost it all, I was heard this story about a client, true story. He was working with some very high net worth clients. And he said, I was sitting down at lunch and he very casually was like, I lost like $5 million today. And he was like, what? And he was like, well, yeah, that happens. He's like, 7 out of 10. If I hit 7 out of 10, things always end up on the right side. He's like, so I just, right, got to go back and make 6 million. And he was so nonchalant about it, Stephanie. He was like, and he, of course, went back and made it. He was like, to him, it was just like, the sky is gray today. The sky is sunny today. All right, I'm going to get up and have my day. And so, those, right, just the resilience that people, if you think about the mindset, like 7 out of 10 is fine. He's not setting himself up for perfect. He's not beating himself up and flailing what a horrible failure he is and how he can't start the next venture because what will people think? And if that fails, oh my gosh. Now, insert marketing idea with venture, insert staff hire with venture, right? This isn't just about tens or hundreds of millions of dollars. It's about the little incremental decisions that you make. Many of you are like, I hate managing staff. And it may be that you do, but it could, gosh darn, just as easily be that you hate the idea of risking capital and not getting a return. That could be it. It could be that you have a story that people will always let you down. Ask me how I know about that story, right? It's almost always the story because you either can manage people or you have the skills, or you could hire people who just really don't need to be managed. You just pay a little bit more for those people. There is always an answer when we're committed to finding one. And the problem is when we have a rooted scarcity belief, your brain will sabotage you. It will procrastinate you. It will tell you you don't need to do that. And you will call me and say, I've hit my head on the ceiling and I'm doing this stuff, but it's not working. Right? If you're doing the method stuff, right, outside of, right, is it working? Do we need to, right, hone the ship and all that? We really want to look at what's your fundamental belief. So when I do that double it exercise, that's what this is about. Does your brain go, of course I can do that. I just got to figure it out. Got some great people and some strategies. Other people have done it. Totally impossible. I can and I will. It's just a function of time and effort. Or you're like, dude, I got stalled out this year, Steph. You don't understand. Like, I had this happen and the baby got sick and then this thing over here happened and my mom in the market. And I know I have children and a husband and a life too. Like, of course, those things are happening. Right, is how we respond to them and ultimately the relationship that we have with challenging circumstances that determines ultimately how many we have and how easily or how effortfully we ultimately get through them. So just check in with yourself about that pattern that you have around core money belief. Do you feel like the idea of doubling or tripling? By the way, that could be time as well, right? Because in your brain, time and money are wildly interlinked, right? Anyone here honest enough to admit that they make really great money more than they ever thought they would? And at some level, they're like, right? Like, I'm just not sure. Like that, Barb, that'll stop you, Barbara, from getting to the next level because you're like, I already have more than I deserve in the universe, right? And your brain are like, all right, that's cool. We're good here. So the second we hit that comfortable zone, comfortable is not bad. As long as it's on purpose. But if you have a catalyst, a more and better that calls you, I want to help more people, I want to be more efficient, I want to add more value, I want to expand my practice, like I just want to take more time off with the kids. If you've got that, and the right money mindset, you can. There are literally advisors, guys, that have $2 million practices with two part-time people, maybe two people at this point. Now, it's a series of very focused choices. You don't do that by being distracted and deluded and working with clients that have $3,000 and doing too much for them. No, does not get you there. But there is, without question, a formula that does. But if your money mindset says that you don't deserve that because you shouldn't make that much money, or you should never be able to make that money without working that hard, that makes you bad in some way, your brain will stop you. So I think I told you guys that I got an email. Did I share this story with you? So we're doing launch right now for next year. So we got their Mojo list, right? We add all this value to everyone. So right once a year, we get to ask them, right, if they want to join us to get more. And we send out the emails, and this guy, I'm not kidding you, he emails me back in the email when you open, because I was like, hey, if you're not joining, I'd love to know why. Like, genuinely, everyone who does that will get an answer from me, like personally. Great market research, by the way. So his response was, I think you're a freaking, that was not the word he used, by the way, which just kind of tells you where his headspace was. I think you're a freaking scamster, and I'm like totally offended by this 100 days off thing. Like, how dare you? How dare you? So, you guys, I want you to know that everything I'm doing for you is complete bullshit. And how dare I show up and do this with you? Because it's not possible. Not possible. It must mean bad things are happening to the client and we're taking advantage of them, right? No, that is like literally, I wrote him a really nice email back where I politely corrected him. This is the antithesis of that. But if you fundamentally believe that you doing better without a bunch of grueling hard work must mean someone's getting taken advantage of, you're never even going to let yourself believe that it's possible. And if you're really intent in your ways, you're going to write me a scathing email and put me in my place. Now, you want to have a real mindset conversation? 10 years ago, I would have been like devastated. Barbara, I would have been devastated by that email. Like, my personal value would be in question. I would have written a two-page response proving very nicely and politely how wrong he was, the whole thing. Do you know what happened when I got this email, guys? I was so proud. It was like one of those moments where you're like, my, how I've grown. I giggled. I was like, oh, this poor guy. Like, literally, are you kidding me? And then I wrote him a really nice email back and I was like, dude, I'm sorry. It does not have to be this way. And I was like, I can tell I'm bugging you, so we'll take you off the list. So you're going to need to find another way to get help. I encourage you to do that. Where is his money mindset? It is not limitless. It is over there in prison of our own design, right? He probably grew up in a household where he had worked long and hard, and the idea of having more, like, only bad people do that, or that's not how we do things around here. People on the other side of the tracks don't work for their money and they take advantage of people like us. Like, there's so many stories that get embedded in us. The problem is we carry them with us and they silently sit on our shoulder as we evaluate every thought, every decision, and every action. And they don't do us the courtesy, Barbara, of saying, hey, just want to let you know, I'm really here stalling you in that next level of success. I'm silent, I'm invisible, kind of like gas, but it's your job to figure it out and get through me. It just doesn't do that, which is why I get so impassioned about these conversations, because when you know better, you're ultimately in a much better position to do better. Cheat sheet on the slide. Any guesses to what most of us attach money as a belief system? It's the interactive part. Anybody, jump in. You guys are quiet today. All right, I'll do it for you. Money is safety. Why do we believe that? We were told that as children. If you have this, it's bad or good. If you have this, it's more bad or more good. Not discounting that, right? In a capitalist society, money is a very necessary resource. But this idea of how much is okay or how much is enough varies wildly from family to family. Some families are like, oh no, we can't ask for more than that. Others are like, hey, this is what we need to feel safe and secure. Money in our society is the fundamental tool or resource we need to feel safe. If we were cavemen, it would be a weapon, right? To defend ourselves and food, right? And in today's age, money is those things. It's shelter, it's food, it's the ability to protect ourselves, right? Got to put that ADT alarm on the house. Like it's our ability to live our life in the way that we want and enjoy our family. It like To us, it represents everything. And when we think it's threatened, where do we go every single time? Every time we go to caveman can't die mode. And that's not usually the place from which we want to make important money decisions, particularly when things are challenging, threatening, or stressful. Do you guys follow me on that? Right, when all the oxygen has left our brain and we feel completely threatened, right? Like we're in the corner with a tiger, is not when we sit around and say, should I hire this person? Wow, should I do that thing that Steph said or that Adam mentioned? You know, should I just invest an extra 10 grand to get somebody who is so completely kick butt that I'm gonna have to do very little managing and I'm gonna wonder, right, Kevin, like how would I ever be without this person? Kevin can tell you a little bit about that. So that's the goal, is to recognize that if money means safety to you, right, it's our relationship with that need for safety and how it shows up in our day-to-day, because we have this thing where we love, it affects our experiences and our programming, right? It's never about safety in the moment. If you have met Brent and Raman and a prospect asks for a discount, your safety is not threatened. You are at no risk of death or peril. But you're hardwired to believe that no is a threat because no in the beginning of our career means, right, not as much money, can't pay the rent, but baby's bottle, whatever it is. And so if the client says no, it doesn't mean no in this moment that freaks us out. It's the what if this happens 10 more times? What if I can't fix this? What if I can't hit my goals? What if I can't pay my rent? In that moment, Barbara, has any of those things happened? No. But that's the place from which we answer the prospect. Oh my God, no is so bad. Again, not true. That's the perception piece, right? No is so bad, I must avoid it at all costs because my safety is paramount. So remember, our brain's number one job is to don't die, right? Surviving, not the same as thriving, not remotely the same. And you all know that, or you wouldn't have joined Limitless. Right. The goal is to shift not just our economics, gosh, but our experience from surviving and getting by and just making it through the end of the day, the week, the month, or the year to, wow, I'm energized and empowered and I'm really excited about what I do and I can't wait to do more of it. Right. Or to keep that super in balance with my kids in my life or whatever it is. So if you recognize that money is safety, recognize that anytime you get that stress response around money, it means at a fundamental level, you're starting to feel like your safety is threatened. And we can stop that, as we've talked about so much with catch and correct, right? Hey, what's happening here? So I was hit so hard by this in COVID, like hard. Now, not because I didn't have the resources to withstand COVID. I did, thank goodness. But because I had to use a bunch of them, like a bunch of them, like it cost probably 500,000 or 600,000 in the business, probably cost close to that personally. Like we literally lived on Airbnbs for 11 months. Like it was a lot. And my nest, right, that I had worked my whole career for and stored up so that I had what is the number one thing we want after safety? Freedom. Remember, that was the whole Steph story. Can't enjoy it, need to find freedom. So go through all this, get it all really going. Things are cruising along. Limitless is awesome. Nice schedule. Bunch of money. Where does Steph's brain go? Lockdown. Like just really, and this was work. I'll tell you all the story next year, like threw me into such survival mode. Wasn't like again, totally like wasn't waking up every day going, I'm in survival mode. But as I look back, it was like, I got to deal with this. I got to deal with this. I got to deal with this. I got to figure this out. I got to figure this out. And yes, there were calm moments in there. But when I looked at the pattern, I was like, oh, wow, that really kind of got the wheel going a little bit faster. Wasn't as clear and on purpose because right, deep down, my brain was in like, oh my God, you're gonna lose everything, right? You're gonna end up in the trailer park again. We're like, your kids are gonna, no more envelopes. Like, oh my God, please no. And I really like felt it hard. Like my energy, like I really had to do work. It showed up in every part of my life. Tell y'all the story next year. Like I had to literally have like a what is happening here conversation with myself. And I was like, holy smokes. I am totally in survival mode. And here's where the origin of that was. And then this thing happened, and this thing happened, and this thing happened, and this thing happened. None of which had to do with money, but all had to do with relationships and feeling threatened. So it was like, oh, yeah, ooh, locked down. So I literally had to sit and uncork that and get back to, right? Everything is fine. All is well. Things are always working out for me. I have all the money that I need to live the life of my dreams and help other people do the same. Every single time I have ever been worried about money and not had what I perceived to be enough of it somehow, some way, I always figured it out and it turned out okay. Like, okay, I can deal, I can work with that. I can work with that. I can't work with, I just can't. And so good things happen. We added value to clients. We had amazing years and testimonials. But when I think about how I felt going through that experience, and man, what would be possible if I had been in this right now state for that last 3 years? I'm like, who even knows how much impact I would have had? And then I have to stop from feeling guilty. Like, oh, right? Like, nope, can't do that. All growth is good. Growth is just messy. So you've been through COVID, right? You deal with markets and money all day, every day. Your relationship to money and the security and the safety that you perceive it brings you is going to be really important. Does that make sense? Does that sort of land with you guys? All right. So here are some common money beliefs. Financial success is my self-worth. Check the box on that one. Money means I'm okay. I could have checked the box on that one. There's never enough money. Check the box. Money doesn't grow on trees, or in my case, money doesn't grow in envelopes. I must work hard to win. The more I charge, the more I have to prove. I know some of you struggle with this for sure. More money, more problems. That was never my problem. I was like, I would love to have more money so I could figure out about the more problems. And it turns out more money is more problems, but I'm not going to lie to you. They are higher quality problems and you have resources to deal with them. Right? But if you believe that more money is going to mean you have to work and not see your kids, or it's just going to create a bunch of complexity in your life, your brain is going to stop you. So take a couple minutes. We're going to talk about this a little bit. Ask yourself what's on this screen, or maybe you see it somewhere else. What beliefs do you hold around money in terms of how easy or hard it is to make, how abundant it is or isn't, how easy it is to keep, whether you're good or bad because you have more or less of it, what it means about you to have it or spend it or not? Sit with that for a second. It usually shows up in a very quiet voice that says, you can't do that. You shouldn't. Who do you think you are? Well, they'll know, right? And then it's what's the story behind the voice? What's it telling you? I fundamentally believed, underscore past tense, this is continuously my work, that I have to work hard, that it has to be a struggle to get ahead. Like, just we're getting by. Like, it's hard and struggle just to get by. Like, get ahead. Are you kidding? Like, I watched my parents struggle their whole life. Every time I thought somebody was going to catch a break, it just did not go that way. Right? That's something I had and have to continuously rewire as I look to have more impact. And I think about my ideal life. I'm like, oh, I was just telling my husband, I'm like, oh, I want to just be able to drop like $1 million on this idea in Costa Rica that we were talking about. Like, that'd be so fun. And then I want to be able to do this thing and have it be like, like 100,000 now. Right? Like, okay, whatever. Not always whatever. Obviously, good conversation with your financial advisor happens in there. But the idea is what used to be, right? No comma. You guys know, right? When you're young, like there's no commas in the big decisions, and you know you're on your own when the comma, right? All the decisions have a comma, like it's at least a $1,000 problem. And then you make more money, but you'd find out now you just have $5,000 problems, and you make more money, and it turns out you just have $50,000 problems. It just keeps going, by the way. Like, just it doesn't stop. The numbers keep growing with the size of your problems and the resources required to solve them just keep growing too, right? So that's why our attitude about money is, if we're waiting for any particular moment, we're going to be really governed by it. So I heard a quote once that I really like. All business owners will recognize this, or those of you that work with business owners, which is, there is a difference between poor and broke. This is true of everyone, not just business owners, but right? Broke is a state of time. Poor is a state of mind. Broke is temporary. Poor is permanent. And I would heard that, I decided that I might be broke at times in my life as a business owner. You know, like, cash flow is high, cash flow is low, like, those things happen. But I promised myself I would never adopt a poor mindset. When I left the trailer park, that mindset was going to stay there. And as a function of that, I always feel like I could have been, we always feel behind, like, ooh, if I'd known this when I was 20, but I'm like, nope, not going to do it. Like, if I didn't know this, I would still be in, or I would probably have gone back to the trailer park, because that was my temperature for money. If you are set at 68 degrees and you try to turn it up, who can tell me about lottery winners? You guys are advisors. Somebody tell me about the lottery winners. What percentage of lottery winners, Jeff, keep their lottery winnings?
I think it's like two, but I actually had a lottery winner and it went even worse, even faster.
Yep. And why is that? When someone suddenly has more money than they could possibly spend over 20 years, Edwin, if they just maintain their lifestyle, so obviously they could probably gazillion quadruple it depending on their winnings, and they still blow all the money.
Yeah. There are no more
Right?
limits. They don't have boundaries.
They literally, their relationship with money is, I can't keep it, I can't deserve it. Like, I can't trust it. I promise you, like, the number one thing those people can do, aside from putting it in, right, getting an advisor and putting it in a trust account, is getting a financial coach or a behavioral therapist or something, because that is why the money leaves. They have no idea how to handle it. They're completely overwhelmed, right? People are hitting them up. It, like, triggers everything. And they don't know the stuff that you know. And for the most part, they're not being advised by people who know the stuff that you know. And most of them, right, don't go out and get great advisors. So it's our beliefs around money that govern how much of it we will earn, how much of it will we keep, how much of it we will grow, and how much of it we will contribute. There are a lot of people who make a lot of money and give away none, none. And there are people who give away almost all of their money, right? Think, right? Buffett, Gates, and some others. What's the difference? Like, we're all like, how much do you really need? But those people fundamentally believe they need to hold on to it for some sense of safety and security, right? You've got clients who, $1 million will make it okay, right, Edwin? And then they're like, actually, it's not okay. I need 5 million. And they get 5 million as a business owner or retire, and they're like, well, actually, 10 million would be better. And again, it's because, right, lots of things play into that. Our standard of life increases. There's mindset that goes into that, right? We got to keep up with the Joneses, like, whatever. But if we can see that our relationship with money is the fundamental tool that governs how much of it we have, keep, and enjoy, do we agree that empowering our money mindset is one of the most important things we can do? Yes? Awesome. I'm going to take your silence as agreement. Otherwise, raise your hand and violently argue with me. That would be awesome. Not really. So here's what I want you to think about. You can't get there from here. So imagine that you are a radio dial. Taylor, your current level of success is 98.7. Your brain is set to that, or your temperature, right? If I want to go over and I'm on hard rock over here and I want to get to country, what do I have to do? What do I have to do?
The dials.
Got to turn the dot. Thank you, Taylor. I appreciate that. It's really hard for me to know what's landing. No one talks back to me, so I assume we're all on board, right? We got to turn the dial. That's reframing your relationship with money and your money mindset. If we don't turn the dial, just like Jeff's lottery winner, our brains are hardwired, literally, biological neural pathways in the brain where energy travels that are rutted in, that goes, go this way. You don't deserve money. Do something dumb. Okay. Like, we will literally put ourselves in those situations. You've all done something where you're like, I need to get this done, and I know it's important, and I know good things are going to happen, and then you don't do it. And then you're like, why didn't I do it? And you get to the guilt cycle, right? We do that because the stories in our head are stucking us. They are creating that invisible force field that you feel but cannot quite discern or explain or take agency over until hopefully now. If we can turn the dial from wherever you are on that scarcity to abundance spectrum, and we can notch it up 3 to 5 degrees and 3 to 5 more, or just take the big leap. Guess what tends to happen every single time without fail? Any guesses? I'm gonna wait till somebody answers.
Can you repeat the question, please?
The question is, if I raise your expectation and your belief around money and how much you deserve, get to keep, etc., what is inevitable every single time?
Everything else will follow.
Everything else will follow. That's right. And Barbara's right. Like, every time I elevate my expectation and I sit in that space, like, my brain in the universe, however you, kismet, whatever you like, just happens. Ask my team. I say this all the time. I'm like, just get me in the lane and I'll print money. I don't mean that like from a greedy grubber perspective. I mean, I'll find an idea that I'm on fire about, I'm excited about, and I'm like, let's do it. And it just, when I'm in that lane, it tends to work. People say yes, great things happen. We have a ton of impact. When I do stuff not in that lane, doesn't mean good things don't happen, but I notice the difference. Like, it's like static on the dial. I can hear it, but I just, like, it's, I just can't get a strong, steady signal. And that's what we want with our money mindset. So step one is we have to punch a hole in our current belief around money, so that we can create space for new belief to sit in that space. So I want everyone to take a second and ask yourself, what's your next big money goal? I give you permission to have one without guilt. There you go. What's your next big money goal? What kind of up level would you like to see in your economics? Maybe it's making the same and working half as much. Maybe it's quadrupling your income. Maybe it's, doubling revenue over the next 18. Like, I don't care. Maybe it's just find 10 really amazing clients that you're ideal. But what is that next big money goal? And then what we have to do is really get clear on what's our persona around money that we're bringing to that goal. Are you in that I have to work long and hard for it, or other negative disempowering belief? Right? Are you in Mother Teresa mode? I don't need that much. If I have that much, it means I'm a greedy person. I need to give it all away. Or are you in Jerry Maguire mode? I love that moment in the movie where he is like, show me the money. Because he just he owns that moment. You feel it. Again, you must always, first and foremost, rule of limitless and good advising is, right, deliver real value to the client in excess of your fees, many multiples over, as you, right, learn and grow through limitless and other, like, that's the goal, so that you never ever have to apologize or hesitate. So think about how you feel about that next money goal. Are you like, oh, I'm gonna have to really work for it? Are you like, actually, I'm not sure I deserve it? Or are you in the like, I can, I will, I'm ready? And as much as possible, we want to shift into that I can, I will, Jerry Maguire readiness. So think about your money stories, good ones. The more I charge, the more I have to prove. Some of you aren't doing a fee increase, even though it's warranted, and now is the best time, right? Everything's gone up. People get it. Some story in your brain is stucking you, saying, well, I have to get all this stuff done first, or I have to do this, or I have to do that. And while those things can be valuable, Adam raised his fees, went from right AUM to a flat fee, like literally doubled and tripled and quadrupled people's fees, like the hardest way. He literally sat them down and said, it's not that anything's actually changing. I just made bad business decisions and I have to charge you more. Like, that's about as hard as it gets. Oh, and by the way, I'd like you to start writing checks, right? We're putting it on your credit card. Like, that's a double whammy from a white knuckle moment, and everybody got through it just fine. Clients and Adam, right? And then that created the momentum for him to realize, right, that he could start to make some really empowered changes in his practice. And you've all heard that story by now, right? So if you start to think about things of like, time is my most valuable asset and I don't waste it, that under-profitable client that used to be okay, Bridget, suddenly doesn't feel okay anymore when you're in that empowered, like, hey, I know how much value I have. If I took on a private client way below my fee, I know I would not be able to feel good about that engagement. I just wouldn't. So I won't take that engagement, right? It's why we have lifestyle. It's why we have leaders. And that's why we created them, because I wanted to create space for those segments of the market, right? Versus bringing my price point down, which is just not a good business model. So reflect on a decision that you have made. Think about this year. Big decisions, like something that went well, something that didn't. Did you have an empowering or a disempowering belief around that money decision? Were you happy and grateful to spend the money, which is my rule about money? My husband will be like, all right, I'm just playing the plumber. I'm like, nope, you spend it, you got to be feel good about it. That's the rule. It's the rule in my house. Like, you're gonna spend it, you got to feel good about it. Now, reflect how that decision may have gone differently if you had had a deeply empowered money belief, whatever the opposite of your limiting belief was. How would that maybe have gone differently? And here's a good one. What belief would you have in order for that next big goal to be easy and available to you? So think about how beliefs maybe have shown up in the past, and then really sit in the space of asking yourself, what belief or beliefs would I have to believe that I could run a $1 million practice with two people? What belief would I have to believe that I could run a $1.8 million practice with two people and work 6 months a year? What belief would I have to believe that I could get to that $1 million over the next few years with doing virtual without ever, right, having to get on a plane? Like, Brian, what belief would you have to have? If we aren't aware of what we want and what our beliefs are in relationship to the energy we will have to expend to get it, right? Or keeping it, right? If you feel guilty, you won't keep it, Edwin, ever. You will somehow find a way to spend it, blow it, or give it away. Just what happens, we want to ask ourselves, what belief would I have? Because our goal is to adopt that belief as we reflect and sit on those moments, especially as we do our business planning. I would have to believe that investing in marketing is going to get me a good return on investment. I would have to believe that investing in a staff hire is going to create leverage. It's going to help me make three times the money of the staff person. I would have to believe that even if it's the wrong person or the wrong partner or the wrong whatever, even if it goes wrong and I lose the first round of money, I would have to believe that I would learn something so valuable from that, that I would take the next step that would ultimately get me to write, because that's just who I am. So when you think about your next big goal, what would you have to believe? Who wants to share one?
I would have to believe that spending money on a rock star right hand would improve ROI. And I can say by doing that this year, I've seen the strong benefits of that. So now I just hope she recovers and comes back.
Yep.
Because I don't
She's
have to
out. Yeah.
start.
But Kevin learned, and then he says she's out for a month, which is a bummer, but these things
Or
happen.
maybe more at
Oh,
this point,
yeah.
so.
So, but can I ask you this question? When you think about this, is a fabulous conversation for the group. And I know you and I, we've talked a lot about this as you've gone through the process, and there was a lot of what I'll call white knuckling in the moment. Those white knuckle decisions are the ones where you're like, oh, I just don't really, really, really don't know, and I need this to work. I hope Stephanie is not practicing on me. We're not, I promise. I wouldn't. I practice on really expensive clients. No, I'm just kidding. I kind of do. Because they're out there, right, doing the new complicated stuff, and then, right, we figure it out for you guys. So Kevin really went through like that part too. Now Kevin on the other side. So can you just talk a little bit about what your reservations or your mindset was before that hire, what your experience is now, and then ask the question, if I said, hey, I'm going to give you some money to go back to the other way, would you do it?
And I would say the reservation wasn't so as much on my mindset as it was on my wife's mindset, if that's fair to say. Obviously,
Spouses are in this with you for real.
yeah. And so was there some reservation on my behalf? Yeah, because you just never know. But I knew I had a problem that needed to be it needed fixing and needed to be done differently than I'd had it in the past, which is hiring inexperienced people here, trying to train them and everything that comes with that, trying to find that person who is truly trainable, and had wanted to do this for a while. When my assistant thankfully quit back in January, I made the decision against my spouse's desires to move forward with hiring an experienced remote assistant, which caused a lot of tension, but it has been invaluable over the course of this year, just getting me through the year, but also helping me to break down my practice and empower me to start making some of the other changes that I wanted to make. And unfortunately, she has now gone out on an emergency, unplanned emergency medical leave. And at the same time, right after I had renewed her for an extension, which resulted in my wife saying, "That's it, I'm done. I'm not working in the business anymore." So just having everything now piled on me. But yeah, would I do it again? Yeah. And now I'm just trying to figure out how to navigate through this interruption to what has been a huge improvement. And so what was the question? If you gave me money, would I go back to the old way? Frick no.
Yeah.
It's not worth my mental health.
When you get out of the day-to-day and the grind of it, and you really do start to get to doing the higher level work and realize, hey, I can make some choices here and I really can create this thing that I want, right? And Kevin's in that process. Adam went through that process. Ben and Tanya, right? Like once you see that ray of sunshine or the light at the end, like then you recognize how valuable those investments truly are. And Kevin's in a bit of a tough spot, and I've been there. Many of you have, which is you're in that space where you believe in the investment, and you know and believe the ROI is going to be there. But you do have a spouse, and there's can be stress around those investments, particularly if they're not as right. That so obviously there's just right a relationship to money whole safety thing that's happening there, Kevin. And that can add additional stress because now it's very easy for Kevin to feel like he has to prove that this was a good idea, which makes it harder still. And then it adds, if I had to guess, Kevin pressure to write and deliver the ROI faster, just to write again to prove it. Because that, and now on top of all that, Kevin has to do the work himself because his wife, I'm not laughing at you, I'm laughing with you genuinely. You
Trust me.
know, we're here, we're talking to Kevin a lot. That's tough. Because she is essentially drawing a bit of a line in the sand and saying, this is really uncomfortable. And Kevin, man, to your credit around clarity of vision, is saying, I believe in this so much that I'm willing to, right, get to the other side of this and you'll see. And if we want to stay in an empowered state around the investment and the ROI, because that's going to be really important over the next 30, 60 days, depending on what you're doing there. And then Kevin, we should have a conversation around like just backup support, right? Do they have someone backfilling while she's out? Because we still, as much as possible, never want to assume that you're the answer, right? To Dan Sullivan's who, not how, which are just three very powerful words. What support, even if it's basic admin and EA, like what can you do or can you get additional support from the firm, right? In the interim so that less of that is water falling down to you. Okay, you guys ready for an exercise? Here's what we're going to do. We're going to put you in breakouts. We've got just about 30 minutes. So we're going to put you in groups of three. That'll be nice and intimate, so it just feels like a good conversation. You've got a worksheet here. We all have a relationship with money. Describe yours. What is your next up level with money? Right? So that's where we went into kind of what your next big goal is. What's your origin story around money? I shared my envelope story. That's the first one I have. What does making money, what do you make money mean about you is a really powerful question, by the way. What meaning you give money in you is going to determine whether you think you deserve more of it. And what are your top complaints about money? Things will kick in there. So I want you to think about your next big goal. And with that framing, we're going to put you in groups of three and have you spend about 25 minutes talking through your next big goal, your money belief in general, or in this case, kind of around that, and then what you will need to believe in order to hit that goal. And then for each of you, you can pick one or two of those questions, the ones that are most relevant to you, just to kind of frame that conversation. Is everyone clear on that? So I want to give you all credit in advance because these are some of the hardest conversations to have. They're very real and they're very vulnerable, like, hey, this is how I feel. But you'll also hear Adam and Ben and Tanya and others talk about, right, it's in that acknowledgement and sharing and right, being open with our peers and community that we actually get the benefit of learning and growing together. So I just encourage everyone, just be honest. I shared all my money stories with you, right? Even the recent ones, because this is a relationship. Like, it's easy for that dial to start to slip, right? COVID came in and just did a hard right on my dial, and it took me a little bit to figure it out. Right. So I had, right. But that empowered me, right, to go back. And the next time life throws a hard turn, I'll be like, oh, got me last time. I know what's happening here. Right. So there's, we don't fail, right? We learn or we grow. So that is the exercise. Allison, if you want to start dropping them into groups for shares, that
Yes,
would
the
be
breakout
great.
rooms are open, so feel free to jump into them and grab your worksheet from the chat before you go.
And then we'll bring you back in about 25 minutes.
I'm not seeing a breakout room. There it is.
If you go to your more button on the bottom right, sometimes it's in there. If you click that on the bottom, wherever your black tab is, if you
Yeah,
click
just
on more, breakout room should be at the top and it should give you an invite. I know because they have to tell, the team has to tell me that every time.
okay. Thanks.
You're welcome.
Okay, I'm just making sure nobody's in a room with only a few attendees. Move a few of these people.
Oops, I almost left. That was it.
Let's see. Five. Okay, move to Christopher. Room two. Just created a room with people's Fathoms, and I'm putting all the Fathoms in there to talk to each
Do you
other.
see a whiteboard on my screen, right? Oh, you probably don't.
Yeah,
Never
I can.
mind. Oh, you can. You see the whiteboard?
I did for a second. Yeah, it went away now.
I just realized that the whiteboard opens up on my main screen. I'm trying to figure out. I'm playing with that because I draw all the time, and I figured using the whiteboard would be a much better way to do it.
Oh, yeah, that would be neat.
Yeah, and I figured it's probably not a big task. I probably just need to spend 10 minutes figuring it out, which we know when it comes to new tech, I'm loath to do because I don't have the 10 minutes.
Yes.
I was
Okay,
like, wait,
but how much time did you say?
25. Well, I just want to bring it back, like, probably going to be like 20 now because I want to bring it back with 5 minutes to go so we can do a little chat.
Okay. So we'll do 15. So you have 5 minutes at the end. Perfect.
Great. All right, let's see if I can figure out this thing. I always feel like this conversation is more at them than with them, but every time I try to engage people around this one, it gets quieter. So I just feel like the breakouts are So I'll have to, when we do, I'll have to think about them when they do it next year, because like they're pretty good about the chats.
Yeah, maybe we need to start with that slide that asks them their money mindset, like at the beginning, and
Yeah.
just have them list them all before we give them to them.
Yeah, I'll have them do that in the chat and then have them do some shares, and that would create a little bit more engagement. But when I asked, they've been very quiet today. So I was like, I don't want to keep asking. And then, right, just because sometimes there's just a comfort level around
Yep.
that.
Yeah, it might be a little bit of vulnerability sharing about this topic for sure.
Which is something to think about with the first advisor spotlight for next year. I was thinking that would be a good one. I have to look at what I put on the schedule. Somewhere there's a how to make the most of limitless, or like a just my own personal experience. And so I thought like Adam could come back and do that, or Brian, you know, just all the like the doubts and the what ifs and the staying focused, and right, Dawn could be a great person or someone to, so because I know we did that in years past and it went well. So maybe that's a good thing.
Yeah. Trying to remember. I think when Liz did this one last year, I think maybe, I wonder if there were a few, we used to like ask people to share in advance sometimes, which is helpful for a topic like this because it gives them a little bit more time to think about it. But we'll
We
have
also
our.
tend to do it with two of us, so it's more of a dialogue, just a little more, you know. I think they got a lot. I think they're getting a lot out of it. I'm really
Yeah,
trying
it's
to make them more engaging, and I was like, that felt less engaging, but they seem to be intently listening. So I think it's just one of
it's
those.
a good topic, and I do think you tend to go into your head a little bit on a topic like this.
Yeah. I think it's just more of like a sit and reflect versus like but which is why I think the breakout at the end is important, because I want them to verbalize around it.
Yep.
So I'll note to do more of that in the middle next time.
Yeah, in the middle is good.
Because then we can come back and I think they'll be more open.
Yep.
Cool. Note to self.
That's good.
Awesome. It's cold in the house, so put the heater on, but it takes a long, you know, just takes a while to heat up. And so I put the heater on, then it blows at my feet, and I get like all dried out and hot, and then I turn it off, start freezing. So I'm just like, Jesus.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a weird time. Finally, it's cold enough to open our windows at night, though, which is
Feels
awesome.
so nice. It does. It really genuinely does.
Yep, it's a miracle.
Oh man. Oh, sorry, I'm very yawny today. I had to pull out the
No
Red
worries.
Bull.
No worries. Oh, somebody just entered the waiting room. I wonder where Jeremy was. Hi, Jeremy. Welcome back. What room were you in?
Oh, hi. It was in five, I think.
Okay, sounds good. I'll put you back in there.
Thank you.
There we go.
I'll have to go back and check. I always feel like when we're doing like more vulnerable shares that the numbers go down. Like how many people were on versus how many people like left and then like come back or don't. I don't know. I've never paid that much attention, but I do know what happens.
I pay attention, and that's why sometimes it can be good to wait till the end for a breakout because you get the people who are like driving or eating,
Oh,
or
yeah.
some people just
Yeah.
don't want to be in a breakout, or maybe they're kind of multitasking something. But I would say I think we had about 50 people when we started, and that's normal for the mindset calls. That's about what we usually get.
Awesome. Be really interesting to see if there's any correlation between mindset calls and re-enrollment. I think if you're engaged in the mindset piece like consistently, feels like you'd probably be more just integrated into the like, yes, I get it, and I gotta stick, like the community. I've never looked, but it just the second you said it, I was like, because I always realize like towards Q4, we should probably look at the data. The numbers always drop after summer a little bit because just people who were not super engaged. So next year we've got some plans, like reach out, right? Like make sure they're super engaged right then, which is really just on me because I've been so busy. Mm-hmm. So having a coach will help with that. Where was I going with that? I was going to say, I can't remember.
The mindset, looking at the correlation of data.
Oh, yeah. So I'm very curious, like the 50 people that are on this call, or like if you think about the practice calls, in particular, the December call is smaller because I've never gone and looked. I'm always curious, is it smaller? Because if they're re-enrolling, they're like, I don't need to do that. I get it. So is it mostly people who aren't re-enrolling, which is not my observation from the people I see on the screen, or are those the people that are like, hey, I'm continuing on and they feel connected to the community, so they do want to be there for that. And, but the number, I just, because if you look at like our re-enrollment and you look at those numbers, they seem ballparky,
mm-hmm.
right around that. So I'm just very curious if the people who are on the last call tend to be the people who enroll, or the people who are on the mindset calls tend to be the people who re-enroll, which, and we could have Danielle look at the call data from last year and this year's enrollment.
I feel like just like a gut feeling is it's the people who are re-enrolling who come, but it would be good to look at the data and see if that's right or not.
Yeah. Yeah, if you're not re-enrolling, I would be like, you should definitely be in this call. Like, you should take this one with you and listen to it over and over and over again. Because if you have a good mind, like, the rest will figure it out. You'll get confident, you'll hire someone, you'll talk to someone. Like, if you are motivated and your mindset's on board, you'll find a way, or you'll make one every single time.
Yeah.
So maybe this would be a good follow-up for the next Inbox Insights. Since half plus legacy, right? Two-thirds, I mean, if you count legacy, two-thirds or half the group, mm-hmm. maybe that would be a good mention. Maybe that'd be a good body if you don't have something big. Mm-hmm. I think you're doing Liz next one, though, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm going to promo Liz. I pulled her out of this one.
Yeah, let's give her that. Maybe we could make it one of the top three, or maybe the one after, where it's like whether you're joining us, because that'll be the first one after enrollment deadline.
Mm-hmm.
So one we could talk about, right, your money mindset, right? If you're still on the fence, you know, we don't, you know, if you need to talk to someone about what's happening in your headspace, let us know. But we could be like, hey, if you're joining us, if you're joining us again next year and you didn't listen to this, you should definitely, because right, this is going to set you up for success. And if you aren't joining us this year, you should definitely, definitely double down on definitely listen to this, because right, if you take the money mind, the abundance mindset with you, you'll figure the rest out.
Mm-hmm.
And we tend to get light on topics in November anyway, because we don't tend to be diving into deep stuff.
Yep. Yeah.
And then you probably saw in text, I thought it was actually, oh, look, my bangs are completely curled different. These are like long and these are, I love that. No one cares. The things I worry about. I was thinking about the office hours where literally nobody is around. Like nobody but nobody but nobody.
Yeah.
That would be a good one to bring in a partner.
Yeah. I like that idea. FICOM.
I say them one because they're awesome. I know they'll do a great job. They know our stuff and our people and our style, so there's no real prep. And it's great promo for them because they can like talk that. About video and podcasting and marketing and inside out marketing, or like they can do that. So somebody from there, ideally two of them, would be able to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And or like them and... If it's them, I don't think you need an alumni, honestly. I think you just, and then we promote it as a growth office hours with FICOM, right? Come ask all your questions. And then that's kind of a cool thing for members too.
Yeah. I will.
So I just think we want to frame that. So maybe that's, depending on if they say yes and when that is, you might want to put that in the next Inbox Insight as well.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Because I definitely don't want to have them do it and have people not show up. And it's growth and it's them and it's free. So we should be like splash, splash.
Okay. Yeah, make it a big deal that they're going to be there.
Yeah, we may, honestly, because I know the reminders are generic and people don't tend to read them. We might want to like at least change the title and the copy.
Mm-hmm.
Don't miss this, right? This growth office hours with our friends from GEICOM answering all of your questions about, right, how to grow your practice.
Yeah, those are kind of on autopilot, and I think actually it'd be better to maybe take them a little bit off autopilot because they're just a little, you are right.
Yeah, I think people, the issue is people, like the last leaders calls after summer, like I lost so many people after summer that I've just been sending emails like, hey, we're about to start our call. You need to be, you need, because I think they just completely, I mean, I delete reminders. I'm like, what the fuck? I don't care.
Yeah.
Where my assistant sees them and I don't, in which case, so I think
that's really not reminding me. Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. Monday, November 12th. Oh no, this one's on a Tuesday because of another holiday.
Yeah, that's probably why everyone's busy because Tuesdays are client days and
yeah.
If GEICOM for any reason can't do it, we could ask Abby and RFG. We could ask FMG. We could ask Snappy Kraken. I just feel like I'm just trying to think about who like really knows us and who like FICOM is ideal because they know us and it's easy. So I assume they can get one or two people to do it. And if they can't, let me know.
Okay. Yep. That's awesome. I will send them an invite this morning. Okay. Let me see how much time we have left.
Should have about 5 minutes.
If you want five here when you come back, let's end in three.
Okay.
I am going to try to catch you this afternoon in daily wrap. I made it red on your calendar.
Okay.
And we can go over onboarding.
Great.
And then let's see.
Really did end up with wildly different bangs today. That is awesome. Well, because I cut them myself.
I need to trim my bangs. They don't even look like bangs anymore.
They weren't quite even two haircuts ago. And then I meant to have her trim them up the last one and I was in a hurry, so I completely forgot. So I did them myself and I'm like, yeah, they just don't quite curl. They just don't quite curl the same. Like, whatever.
Yeah, I've been debating doing mine myself, and I'm like,
I feel like this side looks good, and I feel like this side's like, I got a wing or something. Like,
mm-hmm. Hey, wings are in.
Wings are apparently all in there. I'll just do
yeah.
It's crazy.
They are. Okie dokie. All right, I'm going to broadcast the 1 minute warning, the 1 minute notice. Okay.
And back they are.
Yes, yes.
What's going, Austin? I haven't seen you at the top of the screen in a little while, man.
It's been a hot minute, but saw you in person, so that counts for a little
bit,
right?
It does. But now I'm like, but then I was like, I haven't seen him at the top of the screen in a while. I have to remember to scroll back so I can catch everyone, so I don't guilt you unnecessarily.
Yeah. Good. Yeah. Just a question: does this end at the middle of the hour here?
I believe so. About 4 minutes.
I just had a client pop in on me, so he's in the waiting room.
No worries. If you need to go, I completely understand. We are wrapping it up.
Yeah.
But, that feel.
You talking to me? I'm sorry.
How did that feel?
It was good.
Where did you land?
In a nutshell, double revenue in 3 to 4 years. Continue outsourcing and paying myself the value that I think I bring, and solidifying the finances of the firm, right, for kind of that long-term emergency fund kind of conversation we were having last week.
What belief do you need to have to make that true and happen with abundance, ease, and joy?
That we continue to bring value, and I've earned it.
Right. So it could be like, I continue to deliver value that I earn in excess of my fees and continue to attract clients who appreciate that kind of value. Right. Like every time something sticks you just want to go back to that or something else, because what's happening in that moment, remember, is we're catching and correcting. If we think the thought and we leave it unchecked or unchallenged, it's like the water rolling down, right, the groove in the hill. That's the path of least resistance, and it gets deeper. When we stop and go, wait a minute, I only believe that because I choose to believe that. I learned it, I got taught it, whatever it is, but it is a choice, and I can choose, right? I'm feeling stressed about, this is what I do, Mike. I'm feeling stressed about money. Which is really funny in COVID, because again, I had the resources. There was no like, oh my God, I can't do this. But I would find myself going, all right, right? I don't need to be stressed about money. I have all the resources that I need to take care of myself and my family and to allow me to spend my time giving freely to others. Like I would just constantly, sometimes still do, pull myself into that space, because it just reminds me and those beliefs in the back of my brain that's my truth, right? Not those stories that are sabotaging me or shrinking me. And each time we do that, we pattern interrupt. It's like we put a little dam in that, right, in that ripple downhill, and we redirect it. And if we can do that enough times, William, right, each time that we redirect, that eventually becomes the new pathway, so that now when things happen, I'm like, all, like literally all is well, everything's always working out for me. There must be a reason that I'm here. It's all going to be for my greater good. Like whoop, whoop, it's all fine. And I'm like, all right, I feel better. And if I do it enough, like, so it's about how can we take agency over our money mindset, which really begins with understanding our core root relationship with money. And that goes back to where we started, which is your fundamental root relationship scarcity-based? Right? I have to protect, guard, defend, prove, might lose, right? Or is it abundance? I can, I will, no big deal. And again, it doesn't mean that, right, we don't have serious situations in our life. It doesn't mean you might have stress or pressures. Kevin certainly does. I know others of you do as well. This just sounds so much easier from the other side. And I get it. I genuinely do. But I say this because I've sat in your seat a gazillion times, but on my own and with others. And I sit in it now as I look at my next level. Right? Where am I reaching on my tippy toes? And it is absolutely fundamentally in sitting in this space that everything is available to you. Everything is available to you. Barring the laws of physics, please don't jump off a building and blame it on me. Absent that, everything is energy. It's about your frequency and your state. And if we can set that dial to I can, I will, more is coming and available, and I expect and I believe and I'm grateful, It has been my experience and the experience of many of my clients that when we put ourselves in that lane, that's where things really start to flow. What you focus on expands. When we focus on succeeding with abundance, joy, ease, and impact, which is what I say to myself every day, I am succeeding with love, abundance, ease, joy, and impact. You pick the words that mean, right? But that's how I want to succeed. I don't want to succeed with fear and doubt and certainty and nope, checking out on that. So literally, it's written on my board. You could literally see it. I've got a whole thing. I just change what I say. But like, that's my way. Again, you might have a post-it. You might do a meditation. You might have a buddy. You might have, right? You might have a check-in call with us. It's how do you sit in that space of being empowered and energized around your money state? Because when you do things from that state, ladies and gentlemen, that is where all of the magic happens. You know it. You have felt it. So it's really about how do we sit in that seat in that space more of the time so that the pathways and ultimately the energy together, our state, our biological, physiological state and our energetic state, when those two things align, I call it the mojo. I don't know how to explain it. Neuroscience does a good job. Kismet, spirituality, like pick your path. It doesn't matter when that alignment happens and belief and gratitude are there. Magic happens. So your mission, should you choose to accept it, is be really aware of your relationship to money. If you want to move on that spectrum, which most of us can, I'm working on that spectrum. Like, how do I move further to the right of abundance with love, joy, ease, and impact? That becomes the conversation. So as you think about your business plan, as you think about your next level, what do you need to believe about yourself to be true for that to happen in the way, right? Mine is love, abundance, ease, right? The experience that you want. That worksheet that we gave you is a really good place to start. Spend a few minutes sitting with those questions, asking and answering them. When you're clear on what your top complaints about money are, you can start to get clear on, oh, look at that pattern there, right? There's never enough. Oh, wow. If your top complaints around money are there's never enough or I can't keep it, like you're going to recognize pretty clearly, right? If it's, I don't have enough to give away, that might be a different mindset. We agree, Barbara, then, right? There's never enough. And so that's what I really want to invite you to tune into. You're here, which means you're committed to really up-leveling the quality of your thoughts, which is the very best way I know to up-level the quality of your business and your life. I genuinely hope today really gave you guys a jolt around how to maximize your time and your mindset between now and year end to make some awesome mojo happen. Do you guys have any questions, anything you want to talk through? I know you did breakouts. I was telling Allison in the break, this tends to be where people get a lot quieter, but it's the most, right? It's one of the most powerful conversations we can have. All right. Is everyone feeling clear? Everyone feeling focused? Everyone have that next step on their calendar? All right, then take your money mindset, get to work. Have a great week, everybody.